tell me that all the time.
So you don't believe that, I just asked, what do you think Jesus would have done in that situation?
I don't believe that Jesus would have made a cake.
You don't?
If he'd have been a baker.
Oh, come on.
But he would have
Jesus
been
would have made
him.
The cake.
He would have hung out with them. Jesus could turn water into wine. You can do whatever you want.
You can believe the Bible and everything, but Jesus, that's a deal breaker. Jesus is going to make the cake.
So according to the world, and you heard her herself in the show The View, Jesus Christ would bake a cake for a homosexual wedding. And the sad part about this whole ordeal is that you can expect that of the world. You see, the world can have their opinions because they don't have the biblical truths that you and I have. Of course, they're without excuse. But you can understand that from a person who is living in the world. But what about someone living in the church? Because you see, people listen to the show of The View, and they listen to all of these analysts who proclaim to be biblical scholars in their own way, and a person goes and starts searching for the truth, and they look for a person like John MacArthur, and they ask John MacArthur, can I bake a cake for a homosexual wedding? Well, let me just play what John MacArthur feels on this topic. Extremely disappointing, in my humble opinion. Check it out.
Is it truly sinful for a Christian business person, for instance, a cake baker, to produce a product for a gay wedding?
You're on a roll.
No, it's not sinful for a cake maker to make a cake for a gay wedding, any more than it's sinful for a guy who runs a restaurant to serve dinner to somebody who's gay and sits in a booth and eats the food, or goes to the market and buys a loaf of bread and you own the market. I actually think that we need to show love to everyone, and particularly we need to do good to all those that are outside the kingdom as well as inside the kingdom as much as possible.
Colossians 2:8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. The question is very simple. It's not whether you should feed a homosexual. It's not whether you should clothe a homosexual. If I see a person who is a homosexual, who is hungry, who is poor, who is thirsty, who is in a difficult predicament, I'm going to help him as much as I can. That's not the question, John MacArthur. The question is, should a disciple of Christ partake in an abomination? Because if you are a baker and you decide to partake in a cake for an exotic adult party, you're partaking in their sin. And the same way you would not partake in a cake for an exotic party that has a female breast on it or has any type of voluptuous type of content, you should not partake in a homosexual wedding. Because according to the scriptures, that is an abomination. And you can try with philosophy to twist it up and say it's no more different than serving a homosexual food. Last time I checked, it's not a sin for you to feed a person who's hungry. It's not a sin for you to clothe a person who's cold. It is a sin for you to partake in an abomination called sodomy, which now people refer to it as homosexuality. What's happening here is Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. The church, instead of living for Christ and being separate, has tried to be way too much like the world. And it's really sad that you go to a person like a John MacArthur and you get the same response that you get on The View, that it's okay to bake that type of a cake. Really sad, folks. Extremely sad. You know, in Romans 1, and you can read the whole thing, but we'll just go with verse 31 and 32. Without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, whose knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. So you're aware that partaking in an abomination such as a homosexual wedding is a sin, and it's a very grave sin for that person partaking in it, and you're going to say, sure, let me love you to death. Folks, it's Strange times in the church, folks. It's strange times in Christianity, man. You can't tell the difference between the world and the church. But in terms of John MacArthur, this is not his first strike, in my humble opinion. His first strike in my book was when he said that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved. So let's compare what he said there, that you can take the mark of the beast and still be saved. Let's compare that with scripture. Because at the end of the day, me and you, what we have to care about is what God says, not what man says.
In regard to the latter half of the tribulation period, when men would be required to have the mark of the beast in order to buy or sell, my question is, once a person takes the mark, is there any possibility of him coming to Christ?
Yes. I think, you know, in the seven-year tribulation coming in the future, we're going to get into this, so probably a week from Sunday night, maybe this Sunday night, maybe a week, I'm not sure. But the tribulation is a seven-year period, right? The rapture of the church, seven-year tribulation, then Christ returns, sets up his kingdom. Now, in that seven-year period, really two things happen. God begins to judge the world with a series of holocausts, and at the same time, he begins to redeem his people Israel. And in the process of this, the Antichrist establishes his rule, and in order to function in the economy of the Antichrist, you have to take the mark of the beast. The mark being the number of a man, Revelation 13, 666. Six is the number of man, right? Seven is the number of perfection, and man always falls short of perfection. 6666. Always six is never seven. So the number of man. And apparently what's going to happen, you take the mark on your hand or on your forehead. And we've talked a lot about that, you know, that's kind of the computer situation. We're now moving fast toward the time when we're going to have to do everything we do by cards and by numbers and all of that. And the thing about a card that's a problem is you lose it, and they've already devised systems to put the number on your hand and on your forehead. You go through a scanner, and then, you know, that's how you buy and sell. It's automatically deducted from your bank account. Now, the question is, if you're living in the tribulation period, and you take this mark, in other words, you identify with the beast's empire, will you still be able to be redeemed? And I think the answer to that is yes. Yes. Otherwise, there would be no salvation of anybody in the end of the tribulation. And you've got to have the salvation of folks in the end of the tribulation. You're going to have the Jews redeemed. You're going to have, according to Revelation chapter 7, an innumerable number of Gentiles redeemed, so many they can't even be counted across the face of the earth. So I don't think the fact that someone takes that is a sentence to permanency.
And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, notice that it clearly says, if any man, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The warning gets deeper, folks. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. The scripture says, whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Folks, when a person can get up on stage, I do not care how many seminary classes they have taken. I do not care how many degrees they have. Not everybody wants to call himself a doctor but can't even heal a fly. I don't care what the person tells you. If they tell you something that you cannot back up with scripture, believe God versus them. Believe the scriptures versus them. We are to be separate of this world. The church should be able to notice a difference between a John MacArthur and The View. The church should be able to notice the difference between a local congregation and the club. But in so many churches, they want to reach the youth. So when you go to a youth night, it looks like a rave. Oh, we want to reach the youth. That's why we're singing this song. Do you remember a couple years ago, the Harlem Shake? In the church? Do you remember all of these things that have happened that we've warned you upon? It's not just me, a lot of people have warned you on it. I saw more about this John MacArthur story. I'm not the first one to speak about it. Sakio Woods was speaking about it on Facebook. He's a good brother. He's reformed, but he has no problem in calling out these people that claim to be reformed as well. But you don't see a difference between the world and the church. You don't see a difference. You don't see a difference. And then when you stand here and you say, hey, I don't see a difference, hello, they'll tell you, you're judging. You're legalistic. You are this. Well, listen, you can call me all of those things, but at the very least, I'm coming to you today with scripture. And nowhere in scripture does it say that you should support an abomination. And with philosophy, he twisted the answer. Oh, it's no different than you feeding a person in a booth in a restaurant. That wasn't a question, okay? Nowhere in the scripture is it an abomination to feed a person. But then again, you're going to have your people that worship John MacArthur and are going to defend him to death. And you're going to have a lot of people that are going to be, oh, Tally's evil because of this. Listen, you want to worship a man, okay? Do what you got to do, all right? But at the end of the day, if you really love a person, you call him out. And in this case, this isn't strike one. This is strike two. Strike two. God bless you guys and pray for him, pray for his family, and pray for everybody out there who's even contemplating using philosophy to justify their wicked ways, man. You see Christian artists do it all the time, okay? You've seen it with so many people. They use philosophy to justify their wicked ways. It's vain philosophy. But you may fool people, but you ain't fooling God. That's the crazy part, you see? You can fool all of these people and convince them to sin right along with you. But you're not fooling God. God bless you and your family.